My teaching is going to cover about, it just, I think the Lord put on my heart to bring up this during this season is not looking back. And it's in reference to honoring those who aren't here anymore in our lives. And sometimes there's some confusion about how we honor those who have passed away. And I'm going to bring up like the Dia de los Muertos and Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, there's sometimes they say this time of year can be a very sad time for some people because of people they've lost last year. So we're going to go over a little bit of looking at your windshield and not at your rearview mirror. Because remember, rear view mirror is a lot smaller than the windshield. And if you're focused on the past, you're probably going to get an accident. So anyway, we'll just start in the beginning in Genesis chapter 8, when Lot's wife looked behind her. So let's go to 8, verse 1 through 5. All right. Okay. And God remembered Noah and all the wild beasts. Is this the right?
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah,
okay. I don't think that's right. The right. Let me see.
Yes, all right, let's see.
You're looking for Lot?
Yeah.
It's in chapter 12, I think.
Yeah.
11 or 12.
No, it's 19.
19?
Thank you.
Yeah, 19. Good job, Eli.
Oh, I got that. Okay. So the two messengers went in towards Sodom at eventide, Lot being seated in the gate of Sodom. So Lot beheld and rose up to meet them and bowed himself down with his face to the earth. Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and make it quick for you guys. But so Abraham gave his nephew Lot nicer property to dwell in, but the people became very evil, so two angels came to visit Lot to warn him that the city was going to be destroyed. The people tried to abduct the angels and rape them, but they were safe. But the angels are warning Lot that he needs to get out of town very quickly before the town gets destroyed. So I think it's 26. Let me see.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so I'll start in verse 16. So, and he lingered, so the men laid hold of his hand, the angels, and the hand of Lot's wife, and the hand of his two daughters. And the tenderness of Yahweh towards him, this is Yahweh's tenderness to deliver this small, tiny family out of a very evil place before it gets destroyed. And they brought him out and led him forth outside the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth outside, they said, "Escape for your life, and do not look behind thee, neither stand still in all the vale to the mountain, escape, lest thou be swept away." Okay, and so and he goes on. Lot argues with him because he says, "How am I going to survive in the mountains?" It's kind of funny how we, you know, maybe it's good that he asks questions, but he does argue with him. And then we'll go up to
maybe 25.
Is it 20? Oh, thanks. Okay, so we'll start at 24. And Yahweh rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Yahweh out of the heavens. And so he overthrew these cities and all the circuit and all the inhabitants of the cities and the produce of the ground. But his wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And so, you know, I thought that was very interesting. That's something I've been leaning on a lot in my life, is not looking backwards, because it's easy to, you know, reminisce over, you know, people living in the past. A lot of people say these are oldies but goodies songs, and, you know, it's easier to relive the past than create things in the future. So I've always thought that as a warning. I always wondered if it was a parable, but it does say that was near the River Jordan, so that's today the Dead Sea, so where the salt came. So it is actually, from what we know, is it was not a parable. This really did happen. So that's just kind of the beginning of not looking back. So we're going to go a little bit further into We're just going to talk about a little bit about, you know, traditions in the United States. The Dia de los Muertos, Halloween, but in Mexico, it's a day of honoring those who are before us, who went before us. And it's kind of a beautiful thing when you look at it, but your spirit that dwells in you usually tells you there's something not right about this. But they hang up pictures of their loved ones. They do candles. And it seems like a beautiful thing in their culture. And I'm sure a lot of people mean well, but they also leave out food. So the dead are supposed to come out that night and find their house and eat there. And so it does seem sweet that they're honoring their grandfathers and the people before them, but, you know, if you have Christ living in you, it says the word's written on the tablets of your heart, and so there's something not right about that. So we're going to look to the word to see why it says it's not right. And I'd also like to bring up, you know, I'm pointing at Mexico right now, but we'll look at Memorial Day, too. You know, that was based on the Civil War, the people that died. This is a way of honoring those who've died. Then it went on to other veterans. But in a lot of movies and a lot of country songs, you see people laying at the grave of their loved ones and crying and talking to them. And this, again, seems beautiful and honoring. But in me, and I don't know if you guys, there's just something not right about that. And so this is trying to communicate with the dead. And it just... this is something that we all deal with, so we're going to look a little bit about communicating with the dead. And if you guys are too young for this, but there is the movie called Ghost, and I forgot his name.
Patrick Swayze,
very handsome guy. He dies, and he misses his wife, so Whoopi Goldberg, she becomes a medium, tarot card lady, and he jumps in her body so he can talk to his wife. So, you know, it's got a beautiful song. It's so tender because he hasn't been able to let go. But, you know, again, your Holy Spirit usually will warn you, there's something not right about this, even though the music is very luring. So we're going to look at what does God say about necromancy, trying to communicate with the dead, you know, tarot cards. And we also talk about ghosts a little bit. You know, people are going to say, you know, the ghost of great-grandfather lives upstairs, and he actually plays Elvis music. You know, I've heard that before. You know, my great-grandmother loved Elvis music, and that ghost up there plays Elvis music. You know, and this is, how in the world, you know, there's some truth to what these people are saying, but how do you put this together? So let's again look at what the word says about that. So we'll look in, let's see. Leviticus 19:26. I hope I say that. Oh, that's Aaron. We're just going to go over a few verses about trying to communicate to our past loved ones, even though this is a very tough subject.
Yeah. Let me read it.
Yeah.
You shall eat nothing with the blood thereof. All right? You shall not practice divination, neither shall ye use magic.
Okay. Let's see, we got...
31 says, do not turn into mediums.
Do not turn into mediums. So that's Whoopi Goldberg in that movie.
Turn unto
me. Oracles.
Let's look at... Deuteronomy 18:10. I'll read it. There shall not be found in thy midst one who causes his son or daughter to pass through the fire. Again, this is just witchcraft stuff. Maybe you've seen stuff like that where they dance from the fire. I don't know. One who uses divination, hidden arts, or enchantments, who muttereth incantations, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, you know, or who bindeth with spells, or who asks of a what?
Familiar spirit,
or an oracle, or who seeketh unto the dead. So this is called a familiar spirit. And so sometimes what we think is the dead is actually possibly a spirit, a fallen angel that went with Satan, that's wandering around, and they want to act like they're familiar, like they're a friend, and like how it kind of goes with what Elijah taught about these guys have been around a little bit longer than we have. If they've been working for Satan, you know, they're a little bit smarter than we probably want to give them credit for. So with the Elvis music playing, it could also be a familiar spirit trying to make you... It's a counterfeit. Like Elijah said, that Satan quotes the scripture and he only missed three words from a verse. So we have to be very careful with this stuff. And again, your Holy Spirit in you is going to reveal to you that it's not good, but it's nice to know what the scripture says about that. Let's see. Isaiah 8:19 is on there about talking to the dead.
I'm sorry, Isaiah what?
19. 654 pages. 654.
You
said
654?
I'll read it. 655.
Yes,
no, Aaron, actually, will you read it?
Wait a minute,
I'm
not there.
I'm sorry. Can you read 18 and 19?
Sure.
Okay.
Lo, I and the children whom Yahweh hath given me are for the signs and for the wonders in Israel, from Yahweh of hosts, who is making his habitation in Mount Zion. But when they say unto you, seek ye unto the necromancers and unto the wizards who chirp and who mutter, should not a people seek unto its Elohim? In behalf of the living, should it seek unto the dead?
So would we go to, when we're trying to learn about life, are we going to go to dead people? And the necromancer, it does say familiar in the annotation. So, you know, why are we going to go to the dead? Why are we looking in a rearview mirror trying to get information from the living? And so, let's say, now we do have an example in 1 Samuel 28, I'm going to go ahead and make it quick. 1 Samuel 28, so Saul asks God for some guidance. And God gives him something he doesn't want to hear. Wow, sounds surprising. A lot of times we ask God for something, and he tells us something we don't really want to hear. Get up at 5 in the morning if you want to work out. You know, and you're like, oh, I'd rather. So Saul is tempted to go seek out advice that he wants to hear. So he goes to a witch, and the witch has a vision of Samuel the prophet coming to her and giving him information. And so, what is that? That's a familiar spirit trying to lure Saul in. And Saul ended up, it was a very, very sad ending of you. We won't go into it, but it ended up, him listening to that guidance ended in his death. So remember, Satan, you know, is the god of death, and God is the god of life. So we'll go, that would bring us to Psalm 115, verse 17. Remember, God is a God of life, not of death. Jesus didn't go casting people down. He rose people up from the dead. So when we're talking about trying to get to know the dead, let's see what the Bible says about the dead.
Psalms what?
115. Page 590.
And we're just going to go over a few verses of what God says, what the dead are doing, you know. Why can't we talk to them, you know? So Psalms 115:17. Anybody?
I'll read.
Psalms 115:17.
Okay. I'll read. The dead cannot praise Yahweh, nor any that go down in silence.
Okay, so the dead cannot praise him. Isaiah 38:18. And then if somebody else can look up Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9.
Okay. I'll go there.
Anybody?
For Hades cannot praise thee, nor death celebrate thee. They who go down to the pit cannot wait for thy faithfulness. the living, he can praise thee as I do this day.
So that's a lot of things too. You know, people looking at the past, it's easier to mourn over the dead than to focus on the living, who's alive, you know, and celebrate birth of new people. So, and also just a caveat on that, we'll look also at Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10.
Yeah,
I'm there.
What page?
It's page 640. 9, verse 10, Ecclesiastes. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, with all thy might do, for there is no work nor calculation nor knowledge nor wisdom in Sheol, whether thou art gone.
There's no wisdom or knowledge in the so when the word even says if you're seeking information, there's nothing that they can offer. And on the contrary, if you're not careful, it could be a familiar spirit trying to lure you. So again, we're just going to go on just a little bit about the possibility of these mediums trying to communicate with evil spirits. You know, we're going to just see a little bit of what happens when a bad spirit enters somebody's body. So Matthew 17:14 through 20. Now, we don't want to give glory to the adversary, Christ, which is in us, and we have overcome him, but we'll just give it a little background of what they can do to people. So, 14 through 21. This is seven verses, so if somebody can read that pretty clear for the microphone.
When they came into the multitude, there approached him a man falling to his knees to him, saying, Lord, have mercy upon my son.
He isn't.
Oh, yeah. Because he is
lunatic
and a gravest condition. For many times falleth he into the fire and many times into water. And I brought him unto thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Yahushua answering said, O faithless and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me here.
Continue.
And Yahushua rebuked it, and the demon came out of him, and cured was the boy from that hour. Then the disciples coming near to Yahushua privately said, Wherefore could we not cast it out? And he saith unto them, Because of your little faith, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence yonder, and it shall be moved, and nothing shall be impossible to you.
Okay. And so because of it was their lack of faith that they couldn't cast the demon out. And in this version, it said he had epilepsy, though in my version. These evil spirits, we're going to talk about their characters a little bit. Again, they're from the adversary, but sometimes somebody will say, wow, he reminds me a lot of my uncle, this spirit that comes in the room at night. And for some reason, I sense the ghost has a lot of the character of my uncle. And this is just not the Bible, but perhaps your uncle had an evil spirit living in him that was causing him to do bad things, and when he passed away, it stayed in the house. So that's just a possibility. Nothing to be afraid of, but so we'll just look in what happens in Luke 11:24. It's just one verse we're going to read. This is what happens when a spirit does leave somebody's body, like the little boy that had epilepsy or was lunatic. Okay, I'll just read from, we'll just see. Where am I? 11:23-24. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Okay, so now we're going to talk about what happens when a spirit, an impure spirit, leaves somebody, like the boy that we just talked about, or possibly, you know, somebody who passes away. Whensoever the impure spirit goeth out from the man, It passes through waterless places, seeking rest. And it find and not finding it, then it will say, I will return unto my house, whence I came out. And coming, finding it empty and swept and adorned, then goeth it and taketh along with it that with itself other spirits more wicked than itself. Okay, so I'm not going to get into this too much because we don't want to glorify the adversary, but it does look for a home. So when you kick it out, sometimes it gets evicted and it's wandering around. So they like to have a place to stay. And so sometimes people go, I've seen light bulbs unscrew and land on the floor at night. And somebody moves into a house that's not blessed by God, you know. So that could be possibly an impure spirit that has no home. So anyway, so that's what happens. And we do have to be very careful. You know, we don't mess around with casting out demons unless God wants you to. But it does say that they do try to get back in the house. So, and they could bring more with them. So anyway, so again, we just be very guarded. So, okay, so here's something. Let's see. So let's go ahead and go to Luke 9:60. Okay, so now we're going to bring it back full circle about people crying over their loved ones who have passed away, and you know, Dia de los Muertos. They have a little say, you know, they think it's honoring them, but this is what Christ said in Luke 9:60 when one of his apostles' father died, and Jesus wanted him to follow him, and the apostle said, "Well, can I go to the funeral first?" So let's see what, can somebody read that?
60. And he said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but thou departing be declared the kingdom of Yahweh."
Very good.
And yet another said, I will father thee, master, but first suffer me to bid adieu to them that are in my house. But Yahushua said to him, "No one laying the hand unto a plug, and looking unto the things behind is fit for the kingdom of Yahweh."
Looking behind.
Behind. Thank you, Isaiah, because I didn't even add that in there. That was the Holy Spirit, obviously, in Isaiah, the Spirit of Christ working in Isaiah, that he says not to... What is it? Can you repeat that again, the last part?
Yahushua sent to them, "No one laying the hand on a plow and looking unto the things behind is fit for the kingdom of Yahweh."
Okay, perfect. So anybody who's looking behind yourself is not fit to follow Christ. If you wanted to be a follower of his, you could just get saved. And so, and again, you're like, well, that seems kind of heartless to say, let the dead bury the dead. Like, what does he mean, the dead? There's no dead people. So, again, if you want to look up real quick James 2, if somebody wants to read verse 26, and this is what Jesus means about letting the dead bury the dead.
So what verse?
26.
26? You can, you know, read a verse above if you want.
Sure. In like manner also, Rahab the harlot was, if not by works, she was declared righteous, for she gave welcome unto the messengers, and by another way urged them forth. Just as the body apart from spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead.
Okay, so that's talking about faith. Rahab, that's a really neat story. A prostitute that's in the line of David, so that's a pretty neat story. We want to look that up someday. But she walked out in faith. That's what he's talking about, but he also says, let the dead, the body without the spirit is dead. So what I'm concluding is that when people who aren't followers of Christ, it says, since they don't have the Holy Spirit in them, they're actually dead. They're dead people too. He said, if you want to follow me, leave the dead people who don't want to really live life to bury the funerals. Because we serve the God of the living, you know, of the dead. So, I just wanted to say something. Real quick, Philippians 2:10, I'll just read it, but again, there's no fear. Every knee, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and so never get afraid of these tiny little flies. I guess that's what they call it. Satan's the Lord of the flies, is that right? They're just flies, and especially since you have Christ dwelling in you, every knee shall bow to the name of Christ, so you just cast it out in Jesus Christ. And a lot of times they're kind of like bullies, they sometimes don't want to leave. Sometimes you have to be a little more assertive and repeat yourself, but in due time, they will go away. Just like your healing, sometimes takes a little bit longer when you pray over it, so. Let's see, what else? And another thing, I'm just gonna say this real quick. In Acts 19:19, clean your house out. So you got Christ living in you, and be in prayer, and you know, walk around your house. If you bought an old house, it seems creepy. You know, just pray over it, and in prayer, God's going to show you what things you probably should throw away. And again, that's according to scriptures. Acts 19. When they decided to follow Christ, they threw away anything that related to witchcraft or sorcery. They actually set it on fire. That way, Satan couldn't have a foothold in other people's homes. So that's important to pray over your home. And also in Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you want to read that as well, that talks about hanging up the scriptures on your walls. And to let, you know, the adversary of Satan know whose house this is. It's Yahweh's house. And that's also to build up your Holy Spirit in you, to encourage you, to stay strong, just like having champion photos on your walls. So, we're not going to talk more about that, but, okay, so I have an argument. What about visions? Okay, so there is a scripture in Matthew chapter 17. If everybody wants to turn there, we're going to read verses 1-10. And this is scripture of people that already died walking around. So this is a good argument, and this is a good question that people might bring up.
I'm sorry, Matthew what?
17.
8:18.
I'll read it, verses 1-10. Okay, so here's an argument that people might go, hey, I see a scripture here where it shows people walking around that look like ghosts, and they're actually people from God's Word. So, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with them Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain apart. And he was transformed before them, and his face shone as the sun. And his garments became white as light. And lo, there appeared to him Moses and Elijah, conversing with him, Jesus. And Peter, answering unto Jesus, said, Lord, it is delightful for us to be here. If thou wilt, I will make here 3 tents, for thee one, and for Moses one, and for Elijah one. While he was yet speaking, lo, a brightly shining cloud overshadowed them. And lo, a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I delight, be hearkening to him. And hearing it, the disciples fell upon their faces and were caused to fear exceedingly. And Jesus came near and touching them, said, Arise, do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, no one saw they, save Jesus himself alone. So it is scriptural that people are going to have visions, okay? So when we're talking about visions, there's some stories of people saying, I almost died and I saw heaven. And they say, I went to heaven. Well, you know, maybe God just gave them a vision, you know, to keep them encouraged. So let's look at somebody who had a vision. So that would be John, right, in Revelations. He got taken away and got to see what the new heaven's going to look like. So that would be Revelation 21. So I don't know that much about John, so I encourage you to research what his visions were and the revelations he received. But we'll go over a little bit of 21. So John saw a vision of the future. Yeah. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea is no more. And the holy city, New Jerusalem, saw I coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, lo, the tent of God is with men, and he will tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be with them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, and grief and outcry and pain shall be no more, for the first things have passed away. Okay. And he that was sitting upon the throne said, lo, I make all things new. Okay, so first off, death is bad, right? And God shows, he reveals in a vision to John that death will be no more. So how many people get sad when they're driving their car and they accidentally kill a squirrel or they see a dead baby squirrel? Does anybody get sad?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you think, why am I so sad? It's just an animal. This is embarrassing, right? Well, it says the word of God is written on our hearts. So it shows that death is an enemy, you know, and so he has told us it's okay to kill and eat at this time. Before Noah, they were all vegetarians, right? And so to your vegetarian friends out there, there will be a day that we won't eat meat anymore. Right now it's okay, but there'll be no death. So this is just for fun, about our hippie friends, our vegetarian friends. Let's go to Isaiah 65. And so, Isaiah is a wonderful book. If you want to learn about the new heaven and the new earth, I encourage you. It's a prophecy. Again, it didn't actually happen yet. It was a prophecy that he saw it beforehand. So I really encourage you to read through Isaiah. But we're going to talk about something exciting about vegetarianism.
I'm sorry, Rachel. Isaiah what?
65.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let somebody else read it. Okay, it's verse 25, but if you guys, you can read a couple of verses above and below if you want.
Long y'all read?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll read.
Read it loud, too, if you don't mind. So.
Okay. The wolf and the lamb shall feed in unity, and the lion as an ox shall eat straw. But as for the serpent, dust shall be his food. They shall not harm, nor shall they destroy in all my holy mountain, saith Yahweh.
Okay, so it says, it's not the lion and the lamb. In most pictures, we see a lion laying down with the lamb. It's actually a wolf and the lamb. They're laying down together, and the lions are going to be
eating grass
like cows. So God didn't want us to, he doesn't like death either. So when your heart aches, it's because God made you, and you're a reflection of His image. So yes, it is sad. He understands that you're going to mourn. But one thing, if you notice in that we read in Revelation 21, He says, "Behold, I make all things new." So us living in the past is a very sad place to be, because God does want you to have new things in your life. You know, sometimes you feel selfish about wanting a new toy or a new car, but you know, Yahweh wants you to have new things as well. So. So real quick, we'll go ahead and look at the Lord's return. So, you guys all know this, but, we'll read, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. If anybody wants to read that.
Want to read Melania?
Sure. What verse?
13 through 18, and kind of read it loud so they can hear you.
Okay. But we do not wish to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are falling asleep, lest ye be sorrowing, even as the rest also who are without hope. For if we believe that Yahushua died and rose again, so also will Yahweh bring forth from him them who have fallen asleep through Yahushua.
For this unto you we say, by a word of Yahush the Lord, that we, the living who are left unto the presence of the Lord, shall in no wise get before them who have fallen asleep, because the Lord himself, with the word of command, with the chief messenger's voice saying, and with the trumpet of Yahweh shall descend from the heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first after that. What? First. After that, we the living who are left together with them shall be caught away in the clouds to meet the Lord Yahushua in the air, and thus evermore with Yahushua shall we be. So then be consoling one another with these words.
Comfort one another with these words, that we're going to get back to the new heaven, new earth. Somebody read, read 1 Corinthians 15:54.
About Esther.
15.
Mm-hmm. And 79.
Should I just be 54 or?
Just 54.
But whensoever this mortal shall clothe itself with
immortality,
then shall he brought to pass that saying that is when death has been swallowed up victoriously.
Alright. So death is going to be swallowed in victory, and if your heart gets heavy when you see an innocent person died, okay, so Jesus Christ did God's will, right? What happened when his cousin was murdered? He wept. His cousin John was murdered, and Jesus wept. So he didn't rejoice, you know, when he lost a loved one. And it says, you know, precious in the eyes of the Lord is his loved ones. And the word precious actually means costly, like a valuable jewel is lost. So God, if when Jesus Christ died, God turned off the lights. So how long were the lights turned off when Christ died?
3 days.
Was it 3 days?
3 hours.
Oh, 3 hours. So even the creator of the heavens and earth mourned. When he lost his son. So that mourning you feel is because you're a child of God and you're made in his image. So, but death will be swallowed in victory. And so now I'm going to follow with our loved ones, the Day of the Muertos. So what do? Do we forget who these people are? So now, I'm not going to read it because I know time's short, but let's go to, remember Hebrews 11 talks about a cloud of witnesses that we need to look at these people, these apostles, that went through, that were persecuted and fought, and never gave up. So we are supposed to look at these people in our lives as examples of perseverance. And then when it goes into, Hebrews 12, it says now we need to run our race with perseverance, like they did. It was really neat. Recently we learned about two of my grandfathers. I'm going to try to make it very quick, but my grandmother's grandfather, William Townsend, his mom died when he was 16 months old, and her name was Mary Jane, and he had to go live with his grandma. And when he was 7, he went to go live with his real dad and his stepmom, who treated him very bad his whole life. But he never held it bitterly. He worked very hard till he was 75 years old and was an honorable husband and father. He worked until he was 75 years old. So, and I have to live in honor of his hard works. And he had a life of hard knocks. And then my other grandpa on my dad's side, we know Hill. What's his first name?
Richard. R.E. Hill.
Richard Hill. Okay, so his dad died, and his mom remarried when he was 14, and he had a little brother and a little sister, 8 and 7 years old, and his new stepdad kicked them out. So he had to try to raise his little brother and his little sister all by himself at 14, and they didn't make it, so they had to go to foster care. So, but he never had bitterness, and he started a new life, and I'd like to say that he never took a vacation that we know of. worked 6 days a week, and on Sundays he worshiped the Lord. And he had a lot of money for his daughter, and she traveled all over the world because of his hard efforts. So those are the people, when you see injustice in life and your heart grieves, that's because it's good. It means you're alive and that you're reflecting God's love. But you have to look at these clouds and witness that people have endured a lot more so we can have more comfortable lives. So it is our job to keep running forward and not looking back so we don't trip, so we can leave that kind of inheritance to the ones that come after us.